So 1 week into 2024, how are you handling it? How are you handling your habits? Your habits, both ditching the old ones and developing the new ones. It's often what we start to think about at the start of a new year, habits. And I want to urge you right here at the start of our teaching time today to recall Paul's mantra. We saw it last week. It's so good to make it our own. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, this is in the context of him saying to the Philippians, no matter what I have, I'm relying upon Christ. Whether I'm fully resourced or it feels thin, whatever I have, I'm learning to be content, and my confidence is in Jesus in all things. In all things. Habits. Tell you about a few of mine right here at the start of the year. I am very cognizant of the fact that it is time to trade the Christmas cookies for carrots again. One of my sons, he said this last week, he's like, I miss the Christmas cookies. I'm like, that's because you ate all of them, okay? So, and we're all in on that, but it's time to trade for carrots again. It's time to swap the sweet, sugary drinks for more water and healthy juices again. It's time for better focus, to intentionally leverage time once again with good reading and reflection and prayer instead of the kind of sloppiness and whatever that can go along with the holiday weeks. Of course, I need to be back at the better workout and exercise routine. Get at that more rigorously. Any of you in what I just listed or something in that ballpark, any of you with me on that? You know what I'm talking about? Any of you? Okay, a few of you are. Some of the rest of you are like, John, what you just described, that sounds horrible. Okay, I know. And all of you, I know you're thinking to yourself, yeah, okay, John, if that's what you're talking about, swapping by way of habits, you're now 7 days into this. How's that working for you? This New Year habit stuff. I'm confident we all agree. We all agree. Habits are hard. Bad ones, hard to break. Good ones, hard to make. Last week, we explored in the Bible how God delights to work through incremental moves, tiny places, small things, even seemingly little people. While God unfolds his big story of redemption, there's no doubt about it, God's story is a big story of redemption. He most typically moves little by little. One of the primary ways that happens in our personal lives is via our habits. James Clear says, all big things come from small beginnings. The seed of every habit is a single tiny decision, but as that decision is repeated, a habit sprouts and grows stronger. There's a little big thing every one of us is facing. Every one of us. I'm facing it, you're facing it, and you're either building with it or battling with it. In fact, this little big thing is the source, the cause, the spark that's already determining whether your new year is truly new, productive, and moving forward, or not new, stuck back in 23, or even potentially going backwards. Today, through the teaching in God's Word, we're challenged to catch this. Our heart habits lead to either fledgling faith or flourishing faith. Our heart habits lead to either fledgling faith or flourishing faith. Listen and look on. I invite you to Matthew chapter 6 this morning and Jesus' teaching right here. We're going to see how Jesus connects heart habits and faith. Matthew chapter 6. Now, the context is his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. and real heart issues. That's at the center. That is core to what Jesus is getting after in the Sermon on the Mount. Heart issues, heart habits. And right here in Matthew 6, our personal devotion, focus on the heavenly kingdom or the earthly stuff, just the externals, the money, the stuff, the success, the supposed success externally. Watch what King Jesus expresses about this little big thing, starting in verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Jesus is teaching. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Verse 30. "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first," verse 33, "but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Special things to note right here in Christ's teaching. Some special things to note. First, the repeated command. Did you catch it? It's repeated multiple times. Do not be anxious. Now, the literal nuance is stop being anxious. Jesus knew about human heart habits, the heart habit of anxiety. And we all fall into this heart habit all the time. I do, you do, we all do all the time. Some translations say worry. The old word Jesus uses actually gets to the core even more. It's the idea of divided, split, jumbled thinking, almost like constant tug of war in your heart and mind. It's that whole jumbled thinking thing. It's the back and forth tugging and obsessing. And notice what all Jesus gets after with this stop being anxious prohibition. Life overall, which would include health and physical, mental, spiritual, social well-being, food and drink, clothing, time, work productivity, tomorrow, future plans. All of this, what a list Jesus packs into this volley of stop worry, stop being anxious, stop the anxiety. And catch what Jesus is doing with this. He's going into our heart and mind habits. He's going into the depths of our heart and mind habits, our core patterns and the way of processing on the inside. Our heart habits lead to fledgling faith or flourishing faith. Your challenge, my challenge, is to think beyond, start to think beyond external outcomes. Accomplishing those big goals and dreams and the production side of things. Are those important? Yes. But they shouldn't be the starting point. To think beyond that, to actually analyze the deeper process that leads there. We don't readily do that. I don't readily do that. Most of us don't, all on our own. We don't readily process at that level. Jesus is urging us to look at our own heart habits. This means we dare to consider our identity. Our identity. The deeper stuff of what we really believe, our worldview and how we live that out, our true values and how we live that out in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our actions. That's what Jesus is driving for. Instead of rushing to bolster the external production and get more successful looking outcomes so that others can say, wow, she's killing it, or whoa, he is amazing. Instead, to slow down and reflect deeper. Who do you really wish to become this year? Ponder that. Who do you really wish to become this year? For Jesus, it's a heart habit approach. Consider some tangible ways Jesus' teaching sparks for us new and better heart habits. He urges us first, take a fresh look at the little things in nature. Did you see where he went with this? He says, take a look at the little things in nature. Fresh look there. Birds and flowers, lilies of the field. Look how our Father cares for them. How about a new little habit of hiking and walking out in nature more this year? Seriously. Aim to see. Get out there and aim to see and ponder your Father God's care. Seriously. Get out there and soak it up with the outlook that says, wow, God's supplying faithfully in all these everyday ways out there in nature. And he loves me. He loves us that much. More even. That's Jesus' point. It's like, take a look at these seemingly little things out there in nature and realize, aren't you even more valuable to God than this? More even. And so then what's the result? You look out there and then you go, whoa, I really can trust him. I really can trust him. My Father's love, my Father's care. My Father's care is right there. So good, so kind. If I know my Father, he's going to come through. He is going to work. He is going to provide. See, when you start to have a Father-focused approach like that, you don't have to live perpetually anxious. You don't have to live constantly in that tug-a-tug-a-tug-a-tug-a-war, that split-divided thinking as Jesus describes it. No, instead, you see this Father focus pulls it together in your heart and mind and starts to build a different worldview, a different set of values, a different focus. Why? Because your Father really loves you that much and more. He really does. When we don't reorient our thinking like this, when we don't, we keep giving in to all sorts of obsessive compulsive habits. See, obsessive compulsive thinking, habits of the heart, leads to obsessive compulsive habits that really only serve as best band-aids or some kind of self-medicating. This takes fresh intentionality, a passion to truly let the Spirit of Christ rewire your identity with better beliefs. This is where you let the Spirit of Christ, the Ghost of God, do something new inside your soul and rewire and reorient the Holy Ghost to do something brand new inside you this year. Rewire your identity with better beliefs. This is a Father-focused heart habit. And then you start to think and feel and act based on your Father's care. You start to break out of fledgling little faith. Christ urges us. He urges us to look at the little things in nature and see the Father's care. So some of you, one of the best things you could do is just this afternoon go for a hike. Some of you guys are going to go home and start to plot it on your calendar. Here's when I go hunting again. Get out there in nature, but get out there with the purpose of looking and seeing the Father's care. And then realizing, if he cares that much for all the little things out there, he cares for me even more. He cares for you even more. Even more. Don't lose sight of how practical, loving, and corrective Jesus is. Even as he says, take a look at all the little big things out there in nature and the Father's care, don't miss how corrective Jesus is. He calls us out. He calls us out. King Jesus says, ditch all your little old heart habits. Ditch all your little old heart habits. Most of our English translations say, don't worry or don't be anxious. The tense Matthew records, the language tense that he records, Jesus is using, well, the way he said it, it really sounds like this: stop being anxious. It's that urgent. Stop your divided, jumbled heart perspective. Now, this actually jives big time with habit experts, Charles Duhigg and Nir Eyal. Duhigg and Eyal, their research resulted in what's called the habit loop. Now, some of you have seen this in various forms. This particular diagram is from a site called HabitStrong. HabitStrong. It's based on James Clear's recent fresh research. And it's a cycle, or a four-step process, as Clear calls it. And listen, gang, you know it, I know it. When you look at this, you realize it. We operate in this all the time as humans. It's how we work. It happens with coffee. It happens with ice cream. It works this way with work projects and reading and prayer and trying to wake up from sleep, trying to go to sleep. We work this way related to eating and drinking. We work this way related to sexual desire and stirrings, juggling emails, text messages. I mean, your smartphone overall. I mean, seriously, we work these days the habit loop with our smartphones. Absolutely. Shopping, physical exercise. So if you want to break a habit, Clear says do this heart change work. Make the cue invisible. Make the craving unattractive. Make the response difficult. Make the reward unsatisfying. Now, some of you are looking at that and going, yeah, so what fun is that? But honestly, for all of us, when we face habits that seem like giants or seem like mountains in front of us, it takes actually staring this in the eye, staring this in the face and saying, listen, I'll hear Jesus calling me out that things need change, things need reoriented. I need to take this seriously. This kind of take it seriously is at the heart of repentance. Heart that says I'll change and go a different way. And ultimately, for all of us, it points us to the reality that we need Jesus. And as Phil and Dan were talking about earlier, the fact that we need others in fellowship together. We need Jesus and we need the Word and we need God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and His working within us. And we need others in fellowship. And as we engage like that, good change can happen. And by the way, this kind of process right here, what you see right here, make the cue invisible, make the craving unattractive, make the response difficult, make the reward unsatisfying. To follow this kind of pattern, this can be applied to doom scrolling, which is what a lot of us get caught up in on here. Some of you are looking at me and you're like, yeah, I do that. We doom scroll. Or smoking, or alcohol abuse, or porn. Or chips and cheese addiction. I don't know anybody who would have that addiction. We'll unpack more in coming weeks on breaking up with little big habits. We're going to work on that more together in coming weeks. But for right now, I urge you to go further with Jesus' insight. And remember, let's go back into the big picture of this. Our heart habits lead to either fledgling faith or flourishing faith. It's Jesus' great big theme here in the Sermon on the Mount. Your heart habits lead to either fledgling faith or flourishing faith. So what will it be for you? What will it be for you in 2024? He goes on and urges us in another way. He says, develop your new little heart habits. Don't just break up with or ditch all the old little habits. He says, listen, develop your new little heart habits. It's part of the wonder of Jesus' wisdom. He doesn't just say, stop that. No, he readily offers us the fuel and the resourcing and the passion and the direction, the wise counsel and direction by his Spirit toward what will be fruitful and productive and allow us to flourish. And so he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Note that, his righteousness, not a righteousness made up on your own, his righteousness, his kingdom. Here's your deliberate reframe and refocus. You intentionally set out to prioritize with passion the long range, bigger kingdom view. You're aiming to change your behavior for the good? Aiming to change, form new habits? Well, the habit gurus say, okay, flip the script. I'm quite sure Jesus would agree. Quite sure that this is right at the center of what Jesus is driving at also. So make the cue obvious. Make the craving attractive. Make the response easy. Make the reward satisfying. The kingdom of God and his righteousness can be all that. Let me tell you how this is working for me right now with my 2024 Bible reading plan. I told you last week, about the start of this. And a number of you let me know during the week that you're joining in with this, which is awesome, and there's still time to jump in. It's one of those kinds of plans. You can jump in and make a run on it to pour good stuff into your heart through God's word every day. The reality, gang, is that I'd been in a slump. I had been. I was still reading my Bible. I was doing that beyond study for teaching and preaching like this, but it didn't feel fresh and alive. It didn't. That happens even to pastors, okay? It does. So here in 24, I said, Lord, I want to find something that will be a fresh spark in my heart in good ways. So here in 24, the cue is readily obvious. Each morning, first thing, because I've chosen a plan that is on my phone, which I grab first thing when I come downstairs. At night, when I go off to bed, the phone is not allowed to go with me. It stays to recharge down on the lower level while I recharge upstairs, and then I get up, and it's just what works for me, and then I get up. But like most of you, what do you grab for? You grab for your phone. What blew up overnight, you know? Well, instead of just focusing like that, I've realized, wait a minute, tap the Bible app, tap YouVersion. And the plan I've chosen is right there. The craving is attractive because this is a fresh plan done by the Bible Project. So the Bible Project gave this so creative reading plan to YouVersion, to the Bible app. And it's got really cool intro video. So even like this morning's video, it was amazing. Every one of these videos is just a few minutes long. It's rich. It points us toward Jesus. It helps us see what is going on in this very section of Scripture. So I'm in Genesis, and it helps point us to Jesus and see how it's pointing us there. So it's super creative. It's really cool. And I'm choosing to listen to it read to me. So the words are there on the screen, and I can be following along, but it's also this plan this year. I'm saying, okay, I'm going to go really audible with this. The reader's voice, by the way, sounds like it could be my grandfather or your grandfather. That makes it extra sweet. And I fire this up. Here's part of what makes this very attractive. I fire this up while I'm brewing coffee. That really helps. So it's really attractive because, you know, the wake-up juice is brewing right there in front of me. And all of this makes the response easy. See, I'm listening. I'm reading, I'm watching while sipping coffee, and maybe even unloading the dishwasher. Some of you are immediately like, wait, wait. You can do that while reading the Bible? Yeah, you can. It's very okay to multitask with Bible and prayer. Jesus did biblical stuff all the time while doing other stuff. He did biblical stuff while fishing. He did biblical stuff while traveling, while eating with friends. And so if Jesus did it, Jesus knew how to multitask, so can you, so can me, so can I. And now here's the satisfying reward on it. Biggest reward of all is I know I'm getting some fresh download, the Word of God itself into my soul, that the Holy Spirit can use in me all day long to retool my thinking, to help me think better about the Father's care. So I'm getting that kind of download. That's big. Another really cool, satisfying thing about it is that as soon as my Bible read is done, the reward is I get to say, Siri, play, and I'm ready to listen to a fresh worship song on one of my favorite worship channels, and I'm headed out the door with Moosty the Hound in hand to walk the dog, and it tunes in my heart and mind for some prayer rhythms for a few minutes as I'm walking the dog. Now, it sets the whole tone for the day, and it's a way in my own life right now, and I don't share any of that to brag, because right now it's working. You can ask me in a few weeks, hey, John, how's that working for you? And I'll tell you then, okay? But I'm really excited about how that's working right here at the start of the year. I praise God that this is working right now. Our Heavenly Father, now here's what I want to invite you back into in Matthew 6. Our Heavenly Father and His Son, King Jesus, offer us all their resources. Daily help, hope, peace, holiness, true wisdom, purpose, mission, significance in all you do all day long. They offer all this and more because of loving kingdom grace and ample supply. Such sweet and ample supply because your Father's love is that real. His Son Jesus' love for you is that real. The Holy Spirit's work in you, is that real? The kingdom of God, is that real? Now note how he connects our heart habits with faith expression, in case you didn't catch it. Note the connection, heart habits with faith expression. Matthew 6, verse 30, Jesus says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more, there it is, much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Super intriguing to realize how often Jesus delivers this admonishment with his disciples. Oh, you of little faith. What? Why? Our heart habits lead to either fledgling faith or flourishing faith. When facing a tumultuous storm out on the boat, Matthew 8, verse 26, Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? Oh, you of little faith. Then he rose and rebuked the winds and sea, and there was a great calm. Another boat ride. Jesus seemed to love this kind of get after them in the boat. Another boat ride, this time with Jesus walking in the water and Peter audaciously trying to wave walk. Matthew 14, verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Powerful to realize. With each of these admonishments, Jesus isn't being cruel. I used to think, honestly, I read spots like this or hear spots like this, and I think, man, Jesus is really being, this is mean Jesus. No, Jesus isn't being cruel. He's being corrective, lovingly admonishing, but don't miss this. Every time, he's offering more of himself. With his outstretched hand like this, he's offering more of himself, more help, more hope, more wisdom, more strength for that situation and beyond. He's aiming to grow their faith, to grow our faith. I see we tend to say, man, those disciples were doofuses. Jesus was right there with them. How could that? Oh, whoa, bunch of doofuses. But it's really good to ask when we see a statement like this, oh, you of little faith. It's really good to ask, would Jesus say, oh, you of little faith to me? Or, oh, you of growing faith? Oh, you of much faith? Across the Gospels, Jesus admonishes, oh, you of little faith, but he also praises. He praises how just a little faith like a mustard seed can turn into something very significant, can move mountains even, do something very significant in his kingdom. Jesus explodes these twin little faith concepts, sharing admonishment in that statement, the one we've just seen, oh, you of little faith, but also encouragement about the power of faith like a mustard seed. Much more on that next week. It's truly amazing what can come together with careful building using these little Lego pieces, right? Some of you have brought yours, or you're planning to bring. Some of you have told me, I'm going to bring mine in. We've got a table out in the lobby there as a display, and I'd encourage you, if you've built Legos, whether you're a young kid, little kid, or a big kid, old kid, bring in your Legos for display out there. Very cool. Feel free to bring yours in. Years ago, our family immensely enjoyed the big Lego artwork at the Philadelphia Zoo. There was a season when it was right there. It was impressive what all was there. My own sons were inspired by that, and so several years back, they completed all sorts of Star Wars ships. So this one's going to be out there on display. It's one of Josiah's. I figured it would be a phase that they would grow out of, right? Over a decade later, Josiah's building an impressive car that he hopes to finish and bring in. And our oldest, my big boy, my 25-year-old Jared, we affectionately call him Alex P. Keaton. He's kind of that kind of grown-up kid. He got the White House for Christmas. He's building the White House out of Legos. We'll see how that turns out. Oh, the power of little big things built brick by brick. So realize today, I urge you, as the team comes back, they're going to lead us in some reflection time together. I want to invite you to realize today how vital the little big things really are in your life. I want to urge you to take Jesus seriously. Recognize that what Jesus is saying here about heart habits can and will make all the difference in the trajectory of your life for 2024, truly. So I want to invite you into a time of taking some inventory. Just to take some inventory right now about your own anxiety. We've all got it. We all have that jumbled thinking inside that we face. Take some inventory. The habit loop, how are you handling that? We all deal with it in some form or another. You might not like seeing it up on the screen, but we all, in some form or another, work through that habit loop stuff. We do. I'm going to give you some space to reflect and respond. And I'm going to invite you along the way to pray. Consider a prayer like this, and I want to urge you to make it your own. You got to make this your own, but something like this. Thank you, Jesus. You're speaking into all my little big things. I too readily grow anxious and my heart habits calm me. Still my thoughts. Thank you, Father. Because you are so kind and caring and providing all I need. So I fix my heart on you. And seek your kingdom with fresh focus today. Fill me, please, with flourishing faith. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. give you some space right now. Just reflect and think and pray.